Is going to be on Rosh Hashanah. So basically, first of all, there's a Gemara. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says there's a machloket, there's an argument. When was the world created? There's a machloket, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer says the world was created in Tishri, and it brings psukim for the world being created in Tishri. Rabbi Yeshua said the world was created in Nisan. Right? So Tosus, I think Tosus in Rosh Hashanah, I think maybe in Erevin also, Tosus says, how can you have a machlokas when the world was created? Make up your mind. The world was created in Tishri, or the world was created in Nisan. When was the world created, right? It could only be created once. So Tosus says, the world was created in Machshava, right? In thought, in Tishri, and the world was created actively in action in Nisan. Yeah? That means the world was created.
The months are a function of the Bria, though.
Huh?
The months are a function of the Bria.
Yeah.
Nothing created in thought in 1 month and then in action in the other. The Bria doesn't take place until the action.
You're right. The world in terms of thought, we're talking about Kodesh Baruch Hu. The world in terms of. Okay, I'll explain. The world now. Rosh Hashanah, can I explain why is this a time of din? The world was created in Machshava. What does Machshava mean? When you think about something, you have a blueprint for something. That's a tachlis. That's the purpose of the world. So the creation of the world, the concept of the creation of the world in Machshava was the tachlis, the way the world was going to be in its tachlis, in its purpose. I.e. the world and its purpose, the form of the world and its purpose was created in Tishri. And the world that is created in terms of actuality, in action, was actually created in Nisan. You with me?
Why was there a delay?
Huh? Why was there a delay? No, it doesn't mean there was a delay. For Kodesh Baruch Hu, before the world was created, like he would say, there's no concept of time, there's no concept of months. So it doesn't actually mean in terms of delay, it means in terms of concept. So you have to understand, what does it mean conceptually? What is a world? Conceptually, what does it mean the creation of the world in Tishri in Machshava? And conceptually, what does it mean the world creating the world in terms of Nisan? In terms of creation of the world in Nisan, right? So now, Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the year. And we all know, it's a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, that what happens in Rosh Hashanah, right? We're Nidon, we get judged. Right? Rosh Hashanah, what happens? We're Nidon. A person is judged on Rosh Hashanah. Kibnei Maron. We pass individually to be judged on Rosh Hashanah. It's brought down in Svarim HaKadoshim. That how does a person know when he's being judged on Rosh Hashanah? Is individual judgment. When does a person... Well, Magen Avraham brings it, I think. When do we know that it brings B'Shem Kitvei Ari? When does a person know when he's being judged on Rosh Hashanah? When he feels, in its Orarut, when he feels some form of, like, some sort of feeling where he comes to a feeling of crying, that's when the Kodesh Baruch Hu is judging him. He will come to a feeling of crying, that will be the time the Kodesh Baruch Hu is judging him. That's what he says. If a person doesn't come, that's bad news. A person should be in a state of crying on Rosh Hashanah, in a state of happiness and in a state of crying. We'll get that. We'll explain what I mean by that. A state of happiness and yet a state of crying. It's a contradiction, but it isn't. If you understand what I'll explain to it, hopefully in the end. Now, why is Tishri the time of judgment? What does it mean, the tachlis of the Riyah? What's the purpose of the creation of the world? The purpose of the creation of the world is so that we will be Omed Bedin. That we will finally come, our actions will finally get their reward. You only get reward, right, when you get judgment of your actions. So Rosh Hashanah, in a sense, is when the world comes to its tachlis. World comes to its purpose. The beginning of the Jewish year is also the end of the Jewish year. The end of the Jewish year, that's how it is. The end of the Jewish year is what? Yeah, hello. The end of the Jewish year, we're being judged in our whole year, and we're also starting a new year. It's intertwined. We're judged at the end of our year, and we're judged for the beginning of our new year. In Sfarim HaKadoshim it says, if a person knew what Rosh Hashanah would do for them, Rosh Hashanah, we're not only judged on our year, we're judged on our spiritual status. Where are we going to be spiritually and memela, physically, in that year? What's going to be our physical and spiritual status in that year? Not only is it going to be our physical and spiritual status, where are we going to be placed after we're May 120 in the world to come is going to be judged on Rosh Hashanah. There's a Ramban like that in Shara Gmur. It's also brought down in the Ksarim like that. That means the tachlis of the Bria is Rosh Hashanah. If a person was to realize what Rosh Hashanah was, that means the head. You know when you have a child, the child's being born, right? You're forming a human being. What's the most important part of a human being that you're forming?
The head.
The head. If there's a little blemish in a person's brain, the arm might not work, the foot might not work, his whole side might not work, right? The brain doesn't get oxygen for a little few, I don't know how many seconds or minutes, I don't know how it is, but however much time, he has brain damage. It'll affect his whole body. Rosh Hashanah is the judgment of the head. That's why it's called the head of the year. Our head of the year is being created on Rosh Hashanah. Our spiritual head. Our opportunities, our spiritual opportunities for that year. And we made our physical opportunities. Physical sustenance comes from spiritual sustenance. If our spiritual sustenance we get on Rosh Hashanah, then our physical sustenance. And that's the tachlis of the Bria. The tachlis of the Bria, which is the machshava of the Bria, the thought of the creation, right, is Rosh Hashanah. Now, Nisan, and that's why it's Din. Din means we ultimately come to judgment. We ultimately come to our reason for the creation. You with me what how Din is? When you think, if I have a blueprint of something, I want to design this. I want to create this system, right? That's in thought. That's the purpose. Why am I creating it? Because I wanted to do X, Y, and Z. That's a tachlis. I wanted to do it. When that reaches that tachlis, when it reaches that purpose, that's what it was created for. The purpose of the world is that a human being can be omid badin, can stand in judgment. And that's what's happening on Rosh Hashanah. And it's happening not only for the year, it's happening for our world to come. It's not just this year. It's for eternity. You with me?
Why is that idea? Like, why is the purpose of a human to be judged on Rosh Hashanah?
Because,
or just to be judged?
Okay, because a person was created, we spoke about this last week, a person was created with free will in order to be a Baal Bechira, a person to choose good over bad. In order that the choosing of his good will be similar to God's good. That's the Ramchal and Derech Hashem. And therefore he'll be able to reach ultimate good. Since he can choose good, he can also choose bad. So, the amount of his choosing of his good, will he receive goodness based on the choice of his goodness? So that year that he chose good, he'll be marked at the end of the year. But that year will place him, not only for the future year, but will place him in the position that year brought him in the world to come, the world of ultimate good, which is the world of schar, the world of schar and onish, the world of rewards, the spiritual worlds of rewards. That's what's being judged on Rosh Hashanah. It's not just a simple day. That's why it's brought down in halacha. It's brought down in the Magen Avraham, brings down in halacha. Mishnah Berurah brings it down. That a person shouldn't sleep on Rosh Hashanah. If a person sleeps in Rosh Hashanah, that's bad. He's being judged. What's he sleeping? And the Magen Avraham says, if a person's idle, he's not doing mitzvahs, he's not learning Torah, he's not davening on Rosh Hashanah, he's idle, that's kiyoshin dami, that's like sleeping. It's a very important day. What a person can get on Rosh Hashanah, he can't get on any other day of the year. It's like, you know, Richard Feynman was coming to give a shiur to explain path integrals. Or I don't know, some famous mathematician was coming to explain. Like, he really knows the subject. He's going to give a 2-day lecture course on something. Right, Einstein's come to explain general relativity for 2 days. Heisenberg's come to explain quantum mechanics for 2 days, right? And he's going to explain Dirac's going to explain quantum mechanics for 2 days. He's going to explain what's really it's all about. You're not going to miss those 2 days. That's going to give you an understanding of the of that concept for from the person who understands it best. Rosh Hashanah is going to give you the head for the whole year. Your head, your spiritual head for the whole year. And not only the spiritual head for the whole year, it's going to give you your place in the world to come for that year that passed. And the opportunity for the next year. You with me? And that's the Tachlis HaBriah. Nisan, Pesach is a different time. That's the birth of the Jewish people. The birth of the Jewish people is the birth of the world. Because the world came into its... Into its potential, came into actualization when the Jewish people were brought into the world and brought the world to its tachlis, which ultimately, which is Shavuos, which is Matan Torah. You with me?
I have a question.
Yeah.
So, as I said, why is it that on Rosh Hashanah we're judged the entire year? And how can it be also that your entire year is dependent on just 24 hours?
No, the judgment, your whole year, you had to do whatever you did. You made choices the whole year. Right. Now, there has to be a time for judgment.
But also, what you do in Rosh Hashanah is kind of like you're starting up how you're going to do the rest of the year.
Okay, yeah. It's going to affect the rest of the year.
Right.
So why should only 2 days?
You shouldn't say Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because you have this, the whole year you have like a...
It has to be real tshuva. You can't say, oh, I'll do... You know, Rosh Hashanah, I'll be a good Jew. And the rest of the year, I'm not going to be. That's a tshuva. That's nothing. Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to do tshuva. That's tshuva, that's not tshuva. That's eshov ve'echter. That's not tshuva. I'll do tshuva and then I'll do averus after. That's not tshuva. Tshuva means real tshuva.
Wait, so it's not how you act on Rosh Hashanah, it's how you invest.
It's how you act on Rosh Hashanah with the intention to change. You might fail. But you have to act on how you act on Rosh Hashanah with your intention to change. Your real intention. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't fool around with him. Right? No. He knows if you have real intention or not.
Right.
You know? We're talking about real. We're not talking about, you know, I'll dress the suit, but really inside I'm wearing the jeans still. Right? It means you change who you are. You want to change. You might not succeed, but your rotzen, your inner will is to change. We'll get to that. Rosh Hashanah, let's explain this thing. The Sfarim HaKadoshim say, I'll explain a little bit more. A person has five levels of soul. That's five levels of soul. You've heard of this? I'm sure you've heard of it. Yeah, right? Okay. He's five levels of soul. He has his basic animalistic soul, which makes him into a Homo sapien, right? That's his nefesh. His nefesh abahamis, his animalistic soul, which makes him different from the animals. A dolphin has an animalistic soul as a dolphin. A cow. A Homo sapien has an animalistic soul of a Homo sapien. That makes him a thinker. Right, he could be a mathematician with an animalistic soul. He doesn't have to be a creative spiritualist with an animalistic soul, right? Then he has what's called his ruach. Ruach literally means his spirit. His spirit is that part of him which makes him manly, different from an animal, right? Then he has what's called his three higher level soul. Those three higher level souls is what's called his neshama. His neshama basically is his... The thing which gives him the ability to pray, the ability to connect with his creator. Then he has what's called his chokhmah. HaChokhmah mechayeh et ba'aleh. It gives him life, spiritual life. Spiritual life means total connection with his creator. And then he has what is called his yechida. Yechida, what's called his keter, his crown. That brings, that's his inner unity with his creator. That if you reaches that level of Keter, that level of what's called his inner rotten, right? His very inner rotten, his inner will, that his has complete unity with his creator. He doesn't see anything. The person who reaches the two levels of Neshama and Chochmah, says the Sfarim, he doesn't do any Averas. He lives completely according to his rationale. We do Averas because we listen to our imagination, our Dimyon, our imagination. We imagine things to be true. We imagine things to be real. And we live in the world of imagination, like the Rambam says. The Rambam says in Moreh Nevuchim, that if a person lives al pi rationale, lives according to his complete reason, I'm talking about high level reason, I'm not talking mathematical reason, I'm talking about high level reason. Person lives according to his reasoning, and I'm not talking about Dr. Spock, I'm talking about reason to, in the sense that you're living on a higher spiritual realm of reason, If a person lives on that, he won't have desires. On that level where he doesn't have those desires, he doesn't want to eat. He'll be in control, complete control of the desires. His Yetzirah, his evil inclination, would have been removed from him. And if he learns a piece of Gemara, he won't forget it. The reason we have a Yetzirah is because we live on the level of our imagination. The desires for us are realities. They're not realities. It's a dimion that creates them. For us, they're realities because we live there. But it's a higher level. So we don't even understand what these things are. On Rosh Hashanah, what happens to a person? Those three higher levels of his soul is what he's being given. So our avoda on Rosh Hashanah, our work on Rosh Hashanah is to fine-tune ourselves that we're fitting to receive that higher level of our soul for the rest of the year. You with me? You understand what I'm saying? How do we do that? How do we do that? So let's read two things. The Gemara Shofar. Shofar is the key to how we do that. Right? What is Shofar? Shofar, the Lashon Shofar, the Gemara says, Shapru ma'aseichem, improve your actions. How do we prove the actions? The Gemara says, we pass on this Gemara. The type of shofar, if you look at a shofar, it's bent. Kama de kaif tfei, mali tfei. The more it's bent, the better the shofar is. The purpose of the shofar is to bend us. What do you mean to bend us? Oh, you bend down? What do you mean to bend you? Oh, you look like a shofar? What does it mean to bend you? To bend you in the direction of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that you're machnia yourself to Kodesh Baruch Hu. You realize that your dependency is on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I might have told, it's an interesting marshal. I'll give you an example. And this will also explain why the shofar represents the trumpet to be the proclamation of the king. Why on Rosh Hashanah it's a day of tshuva, it's a day of improving ourselves. Shapru ma'aseichem, improve yourself so you can be a vessel to receive this present. If you're an unclean vessel and you put in an unclean vessel a very good wine, it's a waste of money. It's a waste of time. It might be a 50-year-old wine, the best vintage they brought from France, right? Kosher, of course, right? Best vintage they brought from France. But you put it in a not clean vessel, it's going to be terrible. What do? You have a proper wine glass, right? It's wine that's clean. You put in the wine, that's going to receive the wine. You're going to taste the wine, right? You have to have the mouth for tasting as well. It's the same thing. If you want to receive this higher level of your soul on Rosh Hashanah, or whatever higher level you can receive, right, based on who we are, the vessel has to be cleansed. The vessel has to be clean. If it's not clean, it's not going to be any difference from a regular wine. It's going to be the same thing. You're going to get a low level. Yeah?
How do you do the cleaning?
We're getting that. That's shofar. That's the thing on shofar. The tekiah shofar is the key to how we improve. So we say kfufin. So I'll give you an example. Rosh Hashanah is... Do you do tshuva on Rosh Hashanah? Come on, you should know.
Yeah.
Yeah, where do you do tshuva?
At shul,
where? What part? The tekiah, so you're Sfardi. Sfardim, according to the Rashash was a big Kabbalist. So he put between the tekiah and shofar, between Tashrat, the Tarat, right? And Tashat Tarat, there's vidui that we say. That's when we do tshuva. Right? Ashkenazim don't have that. Vidui. Vidui means confession, yeah. That's when Ashkenazim don't have that. Ashkenazim, you're not allowed to mention any chet. We can't even eat foods, right? It's reported in the Shulchan Aruch, Sfarim as well. We can't even eat foods which have the same numerical value as chet on Rosh Hashanah. We shouldn't mention any chet on Rosh Hashanah. Chas v'shalom.
Like,
so how can you do tshuva? Chet.
Sin.
Right? You can't. So how do you do tshuva?
Yom Kippur.
Huh?
Like what? Yom Kippur.
Huh? According to the Ashkenazi custom, what's the concept of Rosh Hashanah? It's to shofar is a proclamation of the king. We're proclaiming the king's coming. When the king comes, how do you dress up for a king?
My best clothing.
If the king comes and you're in your jeans and your t-shirt and you did a bit of gardening over there, and the king comes, how's the king going to think about you?
You're
a gardener. He's going to think you're not, don't respect. Even a gardener dresses up for a king. He won't be wearing his gardening clothes if the king comes. It's a bizayon to the king. It's an embarrassment to the king that people are dressed not dressing up for him. They're not waving their flags. They're not blowing the shofar. What happens if you don't clean up when the king comes? There's an anger. He doesn't care about me. He's not interested in me being his king.
So why don't these people wear white shirts so that in case the king comes at any point? Like,
No. It's just I don't know why the reason why I should. It could have been. I don't know. It's a good question. If the king comes, right? If the king now comes, and you're not dressed up properly, that brings on din. You're not my servant. That's why Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. It's Yom HaDin because we're not ready for the king. But if we're blowing the trumpets, we're waving the flags, we're dressed up properly. What do you mean dressed up properly? Not our physical dressing up. Our inner dressing up. Midah, our midot, our characteristics. Mido bad yilbash. The dressing up of our soul is our characteristics. If we clean ourselves up as a human being with good midot, with good characteristics, with proper, with behaving properly to our fellow Jew, doing the Torah and the mitzvahs, that's proper dressing up. If we're proper dressed up for the king, then it's not the time of judgment. How do we dress up? How does shofar create that proper dressing up? So I'm going to give you an analogy. This is an analogy that I heard from, in the name of Rav Sharabi, a big Kabbalist, but I think it's broader than Magen Meduvda, someone told me, I don't know. He says like this: how is it that Rosh Hashanah is a day of tshuva, that we don't even mention anything about doing averus, like we said, apart from the svarim with the shofar, right? And yet, we don't do tshuva, we don't actively do tshuva, we can't even mention chet. It's proclamation of a king. How did it go together? So he says, imagine, there's a person on his deathbed. The doctors say he has 2 hours to live. That's it, 2 hours to live. He calls his relatives. He calls his wife. He's giving through his Yerusha. Right? All of a sudden, a doctor comes in. He says, I have an injection that can save you. The doctor comes in, he goes to the person, he puts the injection in, the person's alive. He's living. The doctor says, amazing, it's a miracle, what do? He gave life to the person. Now what did this person do? He comes up to the guy who put the syringe in and he bashes him in his face. That makes sense? This guy gave you life. You're bashing him in his face? You do that to a guy who gave you life? No, I don't think so, right? No. Even not a nice guy, you wouldn't do it, right? Because maybe you'll need him later on, right? You're not going to be stupid to bash him in his face, right? You thank him. Thank you for saving my life. So what happens? You breathe, we breathe, you breathe, yep. We eat, we taste good. It sustains us. Okay, there's better places, right? It sustains us, right? The food is very good here. Sustains us. It gives us life. We need water. We have water. We have all the things we need. Who gives that to us? Kodesh Baruch Hu. You give it to us? But, tefillin and shachris, it's a little harder. And we're coming up to slichas a little bit. I don't know if you guys do slichas. We bash him in the face. I don't want to learn this Gemara today. It's Thursday night. Maybe I'll go to, I don't want to say the word, Ben, right? We know where that is, right? We're bashing you in the face. He gave us life. We're bashing him in the face. That's Kabbalah's Malchus. That's receiving his Malchus. What's Malchus? He's a king. Once upon a time, Obama, forget it. You can make a picture of him. You can write about him. Even I just saw him the other day. I don't know how they do it. But it says, Bush, the bakery, Bush Bakery is coming to Israel. So they put Bush as a baker. I don't know. God knows. So a king they could, I don't know what it is. A king they could make such a picture of, even after he was a king? We have no concept of what a king is. A king would come here, at a flick of an eyelid, he could put someone to death. We'd be frightened of the king. Maybe in Iran with the Ayatollah, there's a little bit of fear. I don't even know that, you know. You have the whole concept of Malchus there, right? Maybe, I don't know. Even there, probably the way people make fun of him, right? I guess. Quietly, at least.
Yeah.
A king, they'd be frightened of it, right? We don't have a concept of a king. We're completely dependent on the Kodesh Baruch Hu to give us life. How can we go against him? Kabbalas Malchus, when you get to that level of realization that the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that you're completely dependent on Kodesh Baruch Hu giving you life, you're not going to do Averas. You're not going to do something wrong. So it's the same concept. When you get to that level of proclamation of a king, you're not going to do Averas. That's the ultimate tshuva that we can get to on Rosh Hashanah. And if we get to that ultimate level of tshuva, which is itbatlus, nullification of our own self-desire, then we'll get, Rosh Hashanah won't be a day of din. Rosh Hashanah will be a chag. It'll be a day where we're receiving higher levels of spiritual awareness for the whole year. That's why we dress up with nice clothes, we eat. Some Rishonim say you can fast on Rosh Hashanah. You could fast the whole day if you want to. Be careful, because if you fast on Rosh Hashanah, every year you might have to fast. Because it's the day of Din. So how can we eat? Because Chazal tell us, we're batuach, we're certain that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to be merachim on us, going to be merciful on us, because we're trying. And what happens if we can't get there? Let's be honest. Get it. Yom Kippur is a different concept. We'll get to Yom Kippur when I get there. It's a different concept. What happens if we can't get there? Is it hard for us? He's giving us breath. He's giving us food. Everything we do for him? You know, we occasionally pick up a newspaper, the internet. You know, well, I need it. I need it to relax, right? I need 3 hours of internet a night to relax. I can't learn Gemara or... We need 3 hours of internet. And oh, and this comes up and that comes up and there's a nice movie over there, right? We need it, right? We need it. We need it, really? We need it? There's a lot of things we can remove if we want, if we believe, right? Okay, we have to get to the belief first. But okay.
I gotta go check out my email.
Okay, we understand what we're saying? Yeah? So now, we're not going to get there. So how do we get there, the miktzatz? How do we get there a little bit? So there's a very famous Rashash that's brought down. It says as follows. You can't clean yourself completely. Clean yourself a little bit. Take one thing that you know that you can do, that you're certain of, and do tshuva in that. Bring yourself closer in one thing, whether it's an extra 5 minutes of learning, or it's an extra hour of learning, or a tefillah, that you once a week you're going to be there for shacharis. Right? Or you're going to put tefillin on. Something. Or you're going to be every shacharis. Everyone is, or you're going to speak Lashon Hara for an hour a day. Right? It's one of the hard ones, right? Tefillin's easy. We're going to work on something. We're going to take something, but we're going to be certain. He says, Shiyaidu will give testimony, Yodea Talumot. It's a certainty that you're going to do that. If there's one thing that you're completely pure about, completely sure about, says the Rashash, you're called a Baal Tshuva. You're called a Baal Tshuva, V'nichnas L'chaim. That's the way.